And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, 28 minutes to 6 o'clock. It's a Monday evening and it's time for our Career Corner with Liam Horan from Slea Noah Careers. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Couple of items to be discussed this evening, Liam. Firstly, a question from OB received by email. I've worked in one sector, teaching, for the past 20 years, but I'm fed up of it. I'd love to do something totally different and could manage the cost of going back to college, but I haven't a clue what I'd like to do and I haven't a clue where I'd start finding out. Any pointers?
Well, I suppose the first thing, when people resolve to change careers as opposed to changing jobs, they can feel a great sort of excitement initially. It can be a liberation to realise that, you know, there's things I can do differently, but it's quickly enough followed by the frustration that OB is exhibiting there, because people tend not to be very good at analysing their own makeup, so to speak, how they're set up, what kind of jobs they're suited to. Moving from the big dream of change to the practical steps they're after can be a bit of a come down. And what they need to do is start putting some shape on their thoughts, because people are very influenced by the need to get a job, start making money, start getting on another ladder, and can rush through the very important phase of thinking it through. You know, there's a period where you just cannot rush. You've got to weigh it up very, very carefully. So that's the first thing I'd say to OB is to understand that it is a process they will have to go through and that you can't microwave it. Things they should do, first of all, would be make a list of things that they're good at. What are they actually good at? And that can be a very broad list. It can be typing. It can be Microsoft Excel. It can be interacting with people. It can be leading people. It can be painting. It can be just write down things they're good at. Most people will find their skills come to the fore quite easily, as in the painting or the plastering or the graphic design or whatever skills they have. They're pretty quick to identify those, but they're not necessarily quick to identify the attributes or the characteristics behind those. So the kind of less concrete things like facilitation skills, people skills, numeracy, you know, kind of higher level phrases that, you know, explain a lot about a person. People tend not to be as good at that. And in that regard, they may need some help from friends. And we have an inventory that if they contact us with the, and I give it out later on, they can actually go through a checklist of possible competencies that they should be looking at, whether they have them or not, whether they're advanced, moderate or poor. And that's a very important part of the point where OB is now, is just getting to identify their skills, their competencies, their attributes, the things that underpin their makeup, if you know what I mean. That's crucial, frequently overlooked by people, but crucial. That's the first thing I would say.
Many of us get fed up with our jobs, want to do something entirely different, but it's absolutely crucial before anybody moves out of the existing job that they have thought seriously about what they're going to do, because there's very little point in giving up a job in the hope that you're going to do something entirely different. You might feel liberated, as you were saying earlier, but the reality kicks in pretty promptly that if you don't have an income, you can be in much, much worse situation than just not liking a job in which you are.
Yes, and I don't know exactly what OB's situation is, but in some ways, every situation is different, first of all. For some people, leaving the job right now almost is a top priority. If it's causing their health to suffer and if they're really, really unhappy, that probably is a top priority. I would always encourage people not to rush to that point. Sometimes when you realise that there's something else going on, and by that I mean you've decided to do a training course in a different sector, or you're spending a half day every Saturday shadowing somebody in a different area, sometimes when you start doing that, that can ease the pressure in your current job. So the angst you're now feeling may be diminished by the fact that you know there's another wheel turning in the background. So before rushing to leave a job, by all means, I would say to people, think it through. Is that the very best thing to do right now? And also, having a job is generally the best time to try and seek another job, because it gives you a certain amount of security in terms of your income. It gives a structure to your week, and people can lose structure very easily when they're cast away from jobs. It can get very they can get very unproductive with their time. It's one of the great myths that if you take time out to think, you might do a lot better. But in fact, there are lots of examples of people who took time out to think and didn't think at all, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It created a different dynamic. And sometimes, you know, the old thing, if you want something done, ask a busy person. But definitely, if you can at all, to stay within your current job while you're exploring other options. And to develop from what I was saying earlier on, so you identify what you're good at, what competencies, skills, attributes you feel you have, and then start writing down lists of careers. And a very good thing for people to do, actually, is a very simple idea, is to go through the golden pages, if they can find one now. They're not as popular as used to be once upon a time. And look at the things that people actually do. You'd be amazed the number of careers that people don't think about. And I find working with clients in this area, most people have kept a very narrow view of careers. They haven't looked beyond, you know, all types of bookkeeping, all types of accounting. They've kind of general views of certain careers, but not much beyond that, you know. So I would say when you've identified your characteristics, your skills, and written them down, very important to write them down, then start looking at careers and what just grabbed your attention. And then start sort of putting two and two together and say, well, do the attributes and skills and characteristics I've identified here, would they support me in this job? Would they actually, you know, be good in this job? And that's the first thing you need to do. And the second thing you need to do, which is a very pragmatic step, is say to yourself, if I was going to do this job tomorrow, would I be happy? Would I like getting up at that time in the morning or not working until that time of the evening? Would I like the work environment that typically is in this job? Would I like the kind of people I'd be meeting there? For example, just to take a simple example, if health and safety is something you're interested in, and this is something that's caught your eye because you have attention to detail and you've got a good idea of how things should operate in a compliant way, you should also ask yourself, then, well, would I like being unpopular? I might have to make unpopular decisions. I might be the one who has to stop the assembly line moving. I might be the one going into a company saying, you've got to desist from doing this, or you've got to add this to what you do. And that may not always be, you know, may not always lead to you being popular. And that's a question that you should ask yourself as well. So as careers form for you or begin to grab your interest, you need to start asking those pejorative questions as well, because it's very easy to convince yourself about the five parts of the job you like. But in fact, you need to think about the other five parts that maybe you don't like before you make an informed decision. We all are very good at, as I said, they're isolating things that attract us. And, you know, I think it's known in the world of romance as saying, I fell in love with her dimple and married the whole body, you know. don't fall in love with the dimple. By all means, appreciate it for whatever it does for you. But look beyond that then and look at what the downsides of the job are. Hours of work, work environment, people you'll be working with, the kind of general demeanor or reputation you'll generate from doing that work. That's a very, very important part as well. And I would say by doing that, someone like OB could then probably lead to a point where there are three or four careers that they're still interested in, having gone through their golden pages experiment kind of thing, having gone through their competency list and looking at the job in a bit more depth. And at that point, they should look at doing some shadowing, spending a half day with somebody, volunteering in that area, looking at online, looking at training courses, just Googling training courses, Googling YouTube video or searching YouTube videos, you know, YouTube things like, you know, role of cost accountant. You'll find a video about that. Looking at doing some short courses of perhaps Alison.com. Again, the big thing here is not to rush to doing a big course, not to rush to making a big decision. Sample three or four or five different careers the way I've just said, and then you get to the point where you might be able to make a big decision. But that could be a number of months, but it might be the most valuable few months you take, because it's out of the frying pan into the fire if you go from one career you don't like to another career that proves to be a disappointment as well. So take your time, do those few steps. As I said, if people email getthatjob@sleenew@careers.com with core competency inventory in the subject line, we'll send them some material that will help them to do the first part of that process. And that's often the biggest part, identifying your competencies and your skills and your attributes.
But one point you've made there, and it shows the extent to which anybody in OB's position need to stand back and consider the position very, very carefully indeed. The point you make that the job you may be interested in may require you to make decisions which will make you unpopular. And OB is in the teaching profession and perhaps is very popular with her students or his students.
Yes.
But suddenly find themselves in the example you gave, health and safety, having to make decisions which may make him or her very unpopular. You know, something as obvious as that is in fact not obvious at all, if you know what I mean.
Yes, and I actually use that example because I've come across it very recently with a client, and it's something they never thought about. And, you know, in this individual would have gone to college at 19 or so, 18 or 19, and it's only later on in her career that they realized, hold on a second here, this is part of this job. And moving from teaching to urban environments can be very challenging as well, because in teaching you can be king of the castle in your own environment. You have really tight structure in terms of holiday time, for example. If you move to something in some other area, there may be totally different ways of doing things, you know? And that's something you need to consider as well. So it's not just, a career is not some big eureka moment, if you know what I mean. It's actually a lot of small things that go to make you enjoy that. And, for example, a question you should ask yourself in this process as well, do I want to work for a small company, a big company, an in-between-size company? All that kind of thing is very, very relevant. Now, if somebody like OB wants to do more, they can look at psychometric testing. They can look at spending time with a career counsellor who will take all this on as well, too. But for now, I would say doing time, like I've just outlined there, would be very valuable, because a big thing you don't wish, you don't need to do, or you don't want to do when you start looking at new careers, is to allow somebody else to totally dictate the process. It is about what you want to do. So getting in charge with yourself and really engaging with it fully from the outset is very, very important, I would say.
And just one final point in relation to OB, Liam. She is in the teaching profession, has been for the past 20 years. There may be the possibility of taking a year sabbatical.
Yes, actually, that's a very good point. And I would say that kind of thing can hold you, that's kind of a holding position that can be very powerful, because you can have some certainty while you enter the uncertainty. And people have different tolerances for uncertainty. Some people love the sort of the roller coaster ride, whereas others like to have checks and balances in place, and that's something that they could look at doing, as you say, while they go off and do some other courses or, you know, do some sampling of other work. And again, I'd say don't exercise the career break too early. It's a valuable thing. Make sure you're exercising it for the right reason and with a fairly good plan in place at that point. But having a job and having some of that security can be powerful when you're trying to make career change.
Very good. We have to leave it at that. We had hoped to look at another issue, the importance of going through the job spec with a fine-tooth comb, but we can put that on hold until next Monday evening, Liam, if that's okay with you.
As the saying goes, there's nothing gone out of next week yet.
Very true. Liam Horan, thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us on the programme this evening, and we'll talk to you again at about 5:30 next Monday evening.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Very good evening to you.